So the question devotee asked is about different levels of relationship with guru depending on the advancement of the disciple. We can compare this to with a son and his father. Different levels of relationship, different types of relationship with a son and his father. We probably explained in Indian households in general, there's three stages in relationship between the parents and their children. There's three stages. So the first stage, the child, boy or girl, when he's born until he's 5 years old, they should give him everything and anything he wants. Feed him 20 times a day, whatever he wants. Eat, let him eat this, everything he wants. That's the first stage. Then from 5 to 10 or 11 or 12, they should chastise him and give him a crack, pull his ears, sometimes give him a slap on the head when he misbehaves. So now they have to tighten up, you know. Hey, you can't eat all times a day. You eat, regulate your eating. Don't eat like a monkey. And behave, don't speak nonsense. You know, respect your relatives and your grandfather, and don't spit on your uncle. And you know, every time your uncle comes, you go, you know, because you don't like him. So don't do this kind of thing. So they correct him and chastise him and punish him. So that's till he's like 15 or so. Then when he's a young boy or young girl, young man, young lady, like 15, then you should become friend, like you're equal. So he said, so there's three stages. So similarly, like that, in relation of a disciple with his guru, there's the initial stage, because everything is at least three, and maybe you can, I even include, made it four. There's four stages, there's three stages of everything, because that's the way this nature, material nature is set up, because of the modes of nature. So there's like, in any relationship almost, there's the initial stage, the beginning, and then there's the middle stage, intermediary, then the final stage. Like when a husband first meets his wife before he's married, that's the initial stage. Then the intermediate after they're married. And after they're married about 10 years, then it's like they're going to keep going or break or whatever. So that's they have to reach the highest stage of understanding and love and appreciation and like this. So with disciple, he meets the guru, and now he's just an anartha nivritti, and he's a little, you know, he's a little, could say, it depends on what lifetime he's meeting the guru also. Because the guru comes life after life to find a disciple. So maybe a little more official, reverential official in the beginning. Then as you know guru more, he knows you more, become more friendly. And then as you, and so there's levels of just personal, developing the personal relationship with guru as you grow in your years of association, and the more personal association you have with your guru, you become more close. Like the early disciples of Prabhupada, they were so close to Prabhupada. Prabhupada was cooking for them and instructing them and practically holding their hands and showing them how to do things, you know, correctly. So they have a very close and tight and intimate relationship with Prabhupada, physically and emotionally, because of the intimacy physically. So that, but other disciples like me, we didn't have that. So we're on a different level than the Satsarups and the Kirtananas and Hayagrivas and all those early disciples, special, Brahmanandas and Gargamunis. So they are really special. But the guru will, he also has different levels of relationship with the guru-disciple depending on the levels of teaching he's giving. He sees as the disciple matures, then he gets more intimate relationship. So now it's like guru and sadhaka. Then he's guru and sadhaka. The guru is teaching him, so it's beginning formal and respectful. Then it becomes a little more friendly and equal type, even friendly, but more close. But then there's a level of my guru's at the level of Vaidhi Bhakti. And then he's teaching me Vaidhi, and I'm learning from him. Then there's my guru teach me rag bhakti. Now, and the level of rag bhakti, I may progress, or in the early stages, may give me siddha pranali. Now my relationship is becoming more intimate, because I know his siddhadeya as a mandri, he knows my siddhadeya, and I'm thinking of him. So now I'm starting to understand my relationship with him will be eternal in the spiritual world, in my spiritual form. And then once I attain that plane of Goloka, that realm. So then there's a level of in the rag bhakti. And then when I come to the level of bhav, and then that's the third level when I advance the stage of bhav. And then I'm seeing my guru as not as so and so Swami, so and so Babaji. I'm seeing my guru as so and so Manjari in a Sakhi Sarup. It's like when all the Raghunath Das Goswami, he's a disciple, Diksha disciple, Yanananda Acharya. When he writes in his prayers, he says, "Oh, I see my guru, Rupa. I'm seeing Rupa Manjari. Vilapkusa Manjari starts off with Rati Manjari, is seeing Rupa Manjari's lips, and oh, what happened, Rupa, this, that." So now on a level of bhava and prema, you start to see the spiritual identity of your guru. And then at the level of prema, you can see that's the fourth level. Like three levels of relationship with guru are on this material plane. And the fourth level is in the spiritual plane, when you go to the Goloka Vrindavan. You follow? That's even a different explanation maybe before. But since thinking of that concept, principle, levels of relationship, I've developed this answer. I have this idea as an answer from a practical consideration. Because the whole principle, when you say diksha means upanayanam. Upanayanam. That's traditionally in a Brahman. It's called upanayanam diksha. That's when he gets Brahman thread. We don't get that, of course, or maybe in some institutions they give. But the principle of diksha means you're moving closer to the guru. Upanaya means to sit nearby. So because diksha means guru accepts you. First he accepts you as a disciple, and diksha means he accepts you directly into the fold of bhakti. Because diksha will take you to prema. The holy name will take you to prema, but it'll be more difficult without diksha. You need guru? No guru, no prema. So guru, if you have guru, you'll get prema. He may not tell you to chant the holy name. He may tell you to read shastras all day. Or just chant Hare Krishna one time. Chant one mala, read shastras all day. That's his order. So by his order, you'll get prema. Because he's Krishna, Sakshat Hari. He's empowered by Krishna. His order. So he's not telling you, because any limb of bhakti will give you prema. Shravanam, hearing about Krishna, reading shastra, that will give prema. Kirtan will give prema. Your Guru Deva will say, "Oh, you have a very great visualization powers. You're very peaceful. You're a yogi before. You used to meditate." Okay. You read these leelas, you meditate on leela. It's hypothetical. Very rarely would happen. You just meditate, because you can get prema by smaran. So you're doing smaran meditation. You get prema, because you have guru. But if you have guru, you get prema. But if you have guru, then he gives you diksha. The diksha mantras have power. Gopal mantra and Kam Gayatri. Because it says that Gopal mantra has the power to give prema. And so does the holy name. So you're getting more power from these two mantras. When the guru gives you, he gives you more power to more quickly attain a prema. So that's why this diksha will be helpful. Not absolutely necessary, but generally everyone takes diksha. That's what we see. It's extremely helpful to purify our nature. It's very powerful purifying mantras. And also they're prema-giving mantras. The Gopal mantra is called a prema-giving mantra. So that's where it's written in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Gopal mantra and Kam Gayatri. So these are sampradayic mantras in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. And they're coming, they have a transcendental source. They originate from Advaitacharya, Nityananda, Gadadhar. And, you know, Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is Sadashiva. Mahavishnu is God. And of course, you know, he, and if you want to go through Parampara, you can say he's initiated by Madhavendra Puri and Brahma Madhav Sampradaya. But even following the idea of Narahari Chakravarti Thakur, he writes in Bhakti Ratnakar, chapter 5, Mathura Mandala Mahatmyam, or Mathura Mandala, the chapter about Mathura Parikrama. He says that in the Bengali, it's there. Oh, when people would see, this is written 500 years, about 400, almost 500 years ago, Narahari Chakravarti, Bhakti Ratnakar. When people would see the followers of Nimai Pandit, they would say, here comes here are the members of the Nimai Sampradaya. The fifth Sampradaya. There's four Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, the Madhvas and the Nimbarkis, and there's four. So then we're connected to the Madhvas, Brahma Madhva, Brahma Madhva. This is generally presented. But he's saying that the fifth Sampradaya, beginning with Lord Chaitanya. So the mantras, these mantras are coming from God, Gopal mantra, and they're powerful. Krishna's name is there, his Leela is there. So Guru, chanting Hare Krishna with Guru and with Diksha, it's for sure you'll get prema. Definitely. 100%. That's Shastra. Chanting a holy name without Guru, you'll get Guru. And you'll get Krishna also. I guarantee if you chant Krishna's name, you'll attain Krishna. When and how Krishna will make that arrangement, in this life or next life, that's with him. If you're chanting Krishna's name, you're with Krishna. Krishna is his holy name. How does someone say you're chanting Krishna's name and it has no effect? Lord Chaitanya says all Shakti is there. And it says in CC, no Diksha, not needed. Anyone can chant the holy name. But if the Guru, if you surrender the Guru and he gives it to you, you get the blessings of the holy name plus the blessings of Guru, which means the blessings of Krishna. Holy name is Krishna giving his blessings, but slowly. The holy name in the form of Guru gives blessings fastly, very quickly. What's your alternative? Someone says, oh, you know, you're chanting Hare Krishna, no benefit. So, okay, I should stop. Yeah, you just stop chanting Hare Krishna. So now what I do? Don't do anything. What is this? This is somebody preaching from the Hare Krishna movement? Someone, you know, there's millions and millions of people in the world, billions in fact, and how many people have any contact at all, any interest at all in Hare Krishna mantra? 1/1000th of 1%? And you meet someone like that, like your good self, and then someone gives you a negative feeling? Hey, that's great, wonderful. Welcome aboard, you know, great, chant, all right. Do you dance too? Yeah, I like to, all right, chant and dance. That's a double combination, man. You play a drum? Yeah, I play congas or something. Okay, play, man. Play and sing. I play guitar. Play and sing. Go for it. Keep doing it. 24/7. Is it good for me? It's great. It's good for your health, good for your breathing. We worship the holy name. We adore the holy name. And we see the holy name on a sign, we feel happy. Oh, Ram Liquor Shop. I see a Mathura. I go to Mathura. Krishna Meat Shop. There's a shop where they're selling goats in Mathura. Krishna Meat Shop. Oh, yeah, okay, Krishna, that's good. When I was in, before, there was some bad articles came out about ISKCON, some negative press, and they bought Prabhupada the newspaper. This is in Leelamrita. So Prabhupada, a very bad story about Hare Krishna is a brainwash and zombie and this and that, and there are crazy people and this and that. You know, all the things that are true, of course. We know it's true. We know it's true, but hey, we're not crazy, but we really are. We know it. We know we're crazy. Hey, we're not crazy. What is this? Who's crazy? You're crazy. You know, your material existence, you're crazy. Actually, they're sane. They're doing their karma. We're crazy. We're trying to get out. I'm crazy. I'm crazy. You know why I'm crazy? Because I'm trying to avoid death. I don't want to die anymore. Oh, yeah, you're really crazy. So you like to die? Yeah, I like to die. Okay, that's a good way to be. I'd rather be crazy. Because you're saying I'm crazy. Why? But you know, I'm crazy. But you know, the only thing I'm interested in is going to God and not dying anymore. Oh, yeah, you are really crazy. What about money and this and that?